It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wakebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
Virginians will use a marketplace that's run by the federal government, and it's called the Federally Facilitated Marketplace. And again, the whole point of it is a place where people can go to compare insurance plans and purchase private health insurance plans. Another acronym for you today are QHPs, for qualified health plans. That's what they're called. Those only quips can be sold on the marketplace. And the other important thing to understand is that the premium tax credits, which are intended to make the cost of these plans more affordable to people, the tax credits are only available when people buy an insurance product through the FFM.
Health law attorney Jill Henkin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explains the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about the new remedy that tenants in Virginia have against landlords who illegally evict them. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 212, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Renters in Virginia have a new recourse against landlords who illegally evict them. A new state law now allows tenants who've been locked out of their homes to file a simple form in general district court to get back in, instead of pursuing a more complicated legal process that had been in effect. It's a huge win for renters, says Christy Mara, an attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. It means they have real access to justice in these cases where landlords clearly are violating the law. The General Assembly unanimously approved the new legal option for tenants this year, but Mara is concerned that not enough renters know about it. She says landlords are required to go to court to get a tenant evicted, but too often take matters into their own hands. There have been successful efforts by landlords over the years to evict tenants more quickly by either changing the lock to the doors or by cutting off some essential service like water or gas or electricity that provides heat, she says. The new form is called Tenants Petition for Relief from Unlawful Exclusion and is numbered Form DC-431. Tenants can file this petition by themselves, on their own, without an attorney, in the General District Court. In other news, last month, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli launched an online resource clearinghouse for Virginia professionals working on the front lines of sexual and domestic violence. The website is designed to provide resources that help prosecutors, victim advocates, law enforcement officers, healthcare professionals, court officials, and others working with sexual and domestic violence. Resources found in the clearinghouse include training materials, evaluation tools, conference announcements, print-ready brochures, model policies, data reports, healthcare guidelines, lethality assessment tools, military resource handbooks, and many other resources for individual professionals and community task forces working to enhance their community responses. This comprehensive clearinghouse is an invaluable resource as a one-stop shopping for professionals working to address sexual and intimate partner violence, noted Christine Hall, Policy Director for the Virginia Sexual and Domestic Violence Action Alliance. The Alliance has been a leading voice on sexual and domestic violence for more than 30 years. The website is sponsored by the Virginia Partnership for Community-Defined Solutions to Violence Against Women, and the website is www.communitysolutionsva.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Starting October 1, 2013, 1 million uninsured Virginians can start signing up for affordable health care. Health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explained the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable to a recent meeting of Virginia Legal Aid attorneys, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show was there. Here are Jill's remarks.
Just for starters, let's remind everybody what the Affordable Care Act is all about, and we all are now happy to call the legislation Obamacare as well, Affordable Care Act, ACA, Obamacare. But overall, the goals of the Affordable Care Act are to provide affordable health insurance coverage to more of the 50 million Americans who are currently uninsured, and to end some of the abuses of private insurance companies over the past years, where people were denied coverage for pre-existing conditions or subject to annual or lifetime limits on insurance benefits. Third area of health insurance reform is to improve health delivery systems so that providers are paid not just for quantity of services offered, but the quality of those services. Turning to Virginia, we know that there are almost a million uninsured people in the Commonwealth. Most of them are lower income individuals and families, but most of them are workers. They work at jobs where health insurance is not offered or it's not affordable to them. Often they are working in two or three jobs but can't get health insurance from any of those jobs. So the major changes in coverage that we're looking forward to in January, the three big things are possible. First of all, the state option to expand Medicaid has not yet been approved by the Virginia General Assembly, but this is an option available to states. And we know in Virginia, up to 400,000 people could get Medicaid if the state expands. January 1 is also the kickoff date for the new insurance marketplace where people can shop for private coverage. January 1 is also the time where individuals required to have insurance, not all of them, and we're going to talk about that, but people are required to have health insurance or pay a tax penalty, and large businesses are also required to provide insurance to their employees or pay tax penalties, but those will not take effect till 2015. But today we're going to talk about the exchange, and we're also calling it the marketplace. Now, Virginia chose not to build its own state health insurance marketplace. So instead, Virginians will use a marketplace that's run by the federal government, and it's called the Federally Facilitated Marketplace. And again, the whole point of it is a place where people can go to compare insurance plans and purchase private health insurance plans. Another acronym for you today are QHPs, for Qualified Health Plans. That's what they're called. Those only QHPs can be sold on the marketplace. And the other important thing to understand is that the premium tax credits, which are intended to make the cost of these plans more affordable to people. The tax credits are only available when people buy an insurance product through the SSM. The reason we wanted to do this program today is because we're getting really close now to open enrollment. Open enrollment for shopping on the Federal Marketplace begins on October 1, and it continues through March 31st of 2014. So it's a full 6 months of open enrollment. People who apply before January can actually have their coverage started in January. But even after March, there will be special enrollment periods available for people to shop for and buy insurance. Now let's talk about basic eligibility for marketplace insurance with premium tax credits. Premium tax credits are only available to people who have income between 100% and 400% of the federal poverty line. In addition to having to fall into this income range, to get premium tax credits, people cannot have affordable job-based coverage. And there's a formula, a calculation that will be made to determine if the cost of employer-based coverage for the employee only costs more than 9.5% of family income, or if the policy itself is pretty low coverage plan so that it really doesn't cover much of the insurance cost. And we're going to talk about actuarial value in a little while. Now, this affordability test is going to be problematic for some people because, as I said, the test that applies only looks at the cost to the employee, not the cost for family coverage. So it could be that some employee-only plans cost family less than 9.5% of family income, while the family coverage costs more than that amount. But nevertheless, right now the law, as it's written and interpreted, requires for this affordability test that you only look at the cost to the employee to determine if the family has access to affordable job-based coverage. So that's the beginning part of eligibility for premium tax credits. Now, if you don't meet those requirements, let's say you have 500% of the poverty line and family income, you could still go to the exchange and get insurance there, but you will not get premium tax credits. It's open for everybody to shop. But if you want the premium tax credits, you have to meet these two conditions. Now, applications for the marketplace will be available in lots of different places. There will be multiple doors for applications. Online, the main avenue, the main place to apply will be at the federal government website, healthcare.gov. And this has been a website that's been up since the Affordable Care Act was first adopted. And it's actually a really consumer-friendly website. The federal government also has just launched its federal call center, and it's a 24/7 call center. There's lots of language access availability through that phone number, and the people who take the calls are trained to give folks basic information about what's coming up in October and how the marketplace is going to work.
You've been listening to Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of health law attorney Jill Hankin of the Virginia Poverty Law Center at a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys explaining the new health insurance marketplace.
Now, Virginia is also going to have a call center sponsored by the state. We're not sure at this point of exactly what role that call center is going to play. I know that the Virginia call center will be taking Medicaid and FAMIS applications, and we believe that they will be making referrals to the federal system for folks who don't qualify for Medicaid or FAMIS today. But we don't know if there's going to be a direct link to the federal call center or if people have to hang up and dial again. Obviously, we hope people don't have to dial new numbers, but this is something we're waiting to learn more about. And then another place that people can apply is through local departments of social services throughout Virginia. You could go in person, or you can use the DSS Common Help online application. The application for both Medicaid, FAMIS, and tax credit is all on one application. It's one streamlined application that will cover all these various programs. If you want to see what the application is like, the federal paper application is currently available. This form, I believe, is about 12 pages, but that's because it has about 6 pages that relate to individuals in the family. But it gives you an idea of the kind of information that people are going to have to apply for coverage after October 1. Then it is pretty basic. First of all, there will be questions about the availability of employer-based coverage. Now, again, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, there is a calculation to determine whether or not any insurance that's being offered by someone's employer, whether or not it's affordable and whether or not it's good enough to bar you from getting coverage through the exchange. Now, if someone doesn't have a job or their jobs don't offer insurance at all, then this is not even a relevant question, so you just move on. And obviously, employers are going to have to be involved with this because the individuals may not even know how much the employer only cost is, and they certainly won't know whether or not the policy that's being offered at their employer meets that 60% actuarial value. So employers will have forms to fill out as well on this particular question. Then beyond that, it's all pretty straightforward. Information about the applicants, including their social security number and immigration status, household size, and countable income. And on both of these things, this whole system is really working through the tax code and tax code principles. So your household size won't necessarily be the number of folks who you live with. It may also include other dependents. And it may not include some people who actually live with you if they're being claimed as a dependent for tax purposes from somebody else. So there are some complexities here about household size, and there are also some complexities about countable income because, again, we're using a new formula, which is called modified adjusted gross income, which is basically using tax code principles. And then the application process is hopefully going to be simplified by the fact that there will be a lot of databases used to verify information. Instead of requiring people to bring in a lot of paper documentation, the databases will check things like Social Security number. They'll check your tax filings from the previous year. They'll check your immigration status. So those things ought to happen behind the scenes so that only as a last resort will people be asked to bring in actual documents. So what do you get if you go through the marketplace to buy health insurance? Well, one of the most important things about the Affordable Care Act is that the coverage that people get is now going to be standardized. Here's another acronym, Essential Health Benefits, EHB, that all the policies have to cover these 10 different things. And overall, the services have to be substantially equal to Virginia's benchmark benefit, which is largest small group plan in Virginia, which happens to be an Anthem product. So the companies who are offering their plans through the marketplace had to look at that benchmark plan and had to make sure that they were covering everything in the benchmark plan and covering everything on this list of essential health benefits. And I'll just point out to you that some of the things that are pretty important in my mind are things like the maternity care, the mental health services and substance abuse services, and also the pediatric services must include oral and vision care for kids. So this is a new world under the Affordable Care Act, where all the policies are going to contain basically the same list of services. And the QIPs are also going to be grouped by value, by actuarial value, which is going to make shopping for the plan that you want for your family a little bit easier. There are going to be four tiers of coverage that are being called by their metal tiers, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And you can see here that the actuarial value gets higher as you go down that list. And what is actuarial value? Well, it's a big average. It's like looking at an average population and deciding whether or not this particular policy, when you look at premiums and cost sharing, trying to figure out for an average population how much the insurance policy is going to cover versus how much the individual has to pay. So, for example, the bronze tier with a 60% actuarial value is going to have lower premiums, but it's going to have higher out-of-pocket costs. And the reverse is true for the platinum, which has a 90% actuarial value. It's got the best coverage, but it's going to have the highest premium, although your cost sharing as you receive services will be lower. All the QIPs, all the QHPs are going to be grouped into one of these four metal tiers so that people can make their comparisons and decide which policy works best for their family. There will also be another kind of policy that's available for younger people under age 30, and those will be catastrophic coverage plans, which would carry a very high deductible. Now, it's a little too early to know whether or not the catastrophic coverage, how different that's going to be from the bronze coverage, because the bronze coverage will also have higher out-of-pocket costs, so there may be a relatively high deductible. But keep in mind that the younger folks under age 30 may be able to get catastrophic coverage so that they pay very little in terms of premiums, but they have to incur a very high amount of medical costs before this policy actually kicks in. Another important change in the Affordable Care Act is that the premiums that are set by companies can no longer be rated or revised based on the individual's self, sex, or health status. You know, in the past, women paid probably a third or a half more for health insurance than men. And we all know that folks who were sick or had pre-existing conditions either were not offered coverage at all or had to pay enormous prices for those policies. Well, that's over now. However, premiums can be based on age, can be based on geography, meaning that within a particular state there may be different prices in different parts of the state, and also can be based on smoking. Also, beyond this, there are new rate reviews. Whenever a plan tries to increase premiums by more than 10%, those changes are subject to oversight. And very important, there's now a medical loss ratio that requires every insurance plan to use 80% to 85% of each dollar of premium for actual medical benefits. Payments have to be made for actual medical benefits rather than going into corporate profits or CEO salaries, etc. And we know that this has helped a lot of folks already, because last year, around this time of year, there was $43 million returned to Virginia residents because they were overcharged for their health insurance. Policies were not meeting this new medical loss ratio, so the individuals got rebates.
You've been listening to Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Starting October 1, 2013, 1 million uninsured Virginians can start signing up for affordable health care. Join us next week when health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center continues her explanation of the new health insurance marketplace, how to apply, what plans are available, and the tax credits which make it affordable. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.